Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Katie Service, and this is a recap of all of the news from the University of Connecticut from this past week. Now, this broadcast is in collaboration with UConn's student newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn's student-run television station, UCTV. Husky Nation News is a broadcast that informs the public about recent events and news within and around the UConn area. It will include original reports from the WHUS News Committee, The Daily Campus, and news packages from UCTV. We will also be discussing local and global news, what events are coming up in the Storrs Mansfield area, and we'll provide some insight on UConn's spring athletic teams and fall athletic teams as well. There is also a new addition to the show this year. We will be having members of other Tier 3 organizations joining us each week to discuss what's going on in their respective organizations and diving deeper into the work that they do for the UConn community. For those who may be unfamiliar with what a Tier 3 organization is, there are six located on the UConn Stores campus, including WHUS Radio, The Daily Campus, UConn's television station UCTV, the Undergraduate Student Government, otherwise known as USG, Nutmeg Publishing, and the Student Union Board of Governors, also known as SUBOG. These organizations are funded by students for students, meaning these various orgs generate free programming for all undergraduate students. Now we're going to get right into our news briefs for today. We have two stories from the Daily Campus, one about some changes to some Connecticut ticket train prices. So earlier this week, information about changes in Connecticut ticket train prices was released, stating that there will be a 5% increase in fares on the Metro North lines, according to an article written by the Daily Campus's Pierce Colfer. This price increase went into effect on September 1st, following the Metropolitan Transportation Authority Board approval back in July. This change is because the State Department of Transportation's rail operations budget was cut by $11 million in the two-year budget approved back in June. The increase in ticket pricing is to help offset the decrease in funding and to help with the maintenance of existing rails. The MTA board said that without these fare increases, there would have been cuts made to current train lines that would not accommodate the rising volume of passengers, according to CT Insider. There will be another 5% increase in train fares, the second coming in the summer of 2026. Now, train ticket prices aren't the only change UConn students have to be aware of this fall. There are numerous renovations happening around all of the UConn campuses. Many academic and recreational locations are currently in construction at the Storrs campus, one of the most notable being the Gantt Math Science Complex, according to an article written by the Daily Campus's Patrick Boots. All of the expansions mentioned were released in the University Planning, Design, and Construction Office quarterly report in June. Gantt has entered its third and final renovation phase this summer, with improvements coming to the north wing, loading zones, and outdoor courtyard areas. During this construction project, North Eagleville and Auditorium Roads will both be closed. This building will have four existing floors renovated to accommodate classrooms and lab spaces. A new floor specifically designed for research will be constructed, and the new ground floor will feature advising services offered by the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. The building demolition is set to be completed by February of 2026, and construction is set to be completed by December of 2027, with its usage available for the spring 2028 semester, according to the University Planning, Design, and Construction Office. This renovation project was funded by the Next Generation Connecticut Initiative as part of UConn's goal to create a STEM-focused quad. This initiative was launched in 2014 and is a state initiative to expand educational opportunities, research, and innovation in the science, technology, engineering, and math disciplines over the span of a decade, according to the Budget Planning and Institutional Research website. The Greer Field House has started breaking ground in its largest renovation it's ever seen. The Field House has been open since 1950, and its last renovation was back in 1990. One could say this renovation was long overdue. The construction started in April, including a complete overhaul on the Geyer Gymnasium, construction of the new Naden Center for Academic Excellence as a part of the new Bailey Student Athlete Success Center. This facility is named after UConn alum and UConn Foundation board member Trisha Bailey, and there are plans to include new locker rooms for various athletic teams in the Student Athlete Center and changes to Axis Sherman Field, which is located behind the building. at the regional level, a new cafe is in the works at the Hartford campus. The cafe is in the Hartford Times building and will feature grab-and-go style meals and limited cafeteria style service. The cafe was set to open at the start of this semester. However, a grand opening has been scheduled to be in the coming weeks. If you'd like more information on any of these campus updates, you can visit UConn.edu/construction. Now we're going to turn the mic over to Assistant News Director Rhea Kowalski with your local news update.
Hello, everyone. So today I have three stories, some out of UConn, some out of our neighboring areas around Mansfield and things like that. So the first story I have comes from NBC Connecticut, where UConn has been seeing a drop in international student enrollment. UConn has always been known for high numbers of international students. However, this year about 2,650 international students were enrolled as of the first day of this academic school year, which is an 8% decrease, according to UConn spokesperson Stephanie Reitz. The Association of International Educators, also known as the NAFSA, NAFSA, says that 30 to 40%, there has been a 30 to 40% nationwide decline overall, and has noted that the biggest loss of students has been from China and India. NAFSA has also mentioned that in Connecticut specifically, there is a 15% drop in international students, which could have a potential for a $122 million loss in revenue. Stephanie Reitz has made a point to say that UConn isn't specifically attributing the enrollment decrease to any certain factors. The next story we have is right next door in Mansfield CT, where E.O. Smith High School has beginning their composting journey. This July, the high school reached its fundraising goal of $3,925 in order to purchase reusable serving utensils, according to the Mansfield September 2025 newsletter. These serving utensils would include silverware and serving trays that E.O. Smith can begin composting during school lunches. Prior to fundraising, the school had began composting various food prep scraps. With the new addition of these new utensils, they're planning on bringing more of the food scraps to the Mansfield transfer station, where the finished compost will be available for free for Mansfield residents to give back to their own gardens. Finally, our last little bit of news locally here is at UConn Stanford. They, as well as like the record-breaking number of freshmen that have been admitted to UConn over the past 2 years. I think we broke the record last year and then broke it again this year. This has led to, as we have seen, the housing crisis on the Storrs campus, which has now made its way to the UConn Stanford campus. As of August 20th, there's around 80 students who are waitlisted at the Stanford campus, with Connecticut Insider mentioning that there's around 100 more first-year students compared with last school year. The university says that they're working on finding more housing, which has already been expanded from last year, with the university signing 3 2-year leases at Allure Harbor Point NV, which is on 1385 Washington Boulevard, which was actually controversial last year due to the displacement of a lot of the current residents. Controversy aside, the Stanford campus is excited to expand its student enrollment. And I'm passing it back to Katie.
We're going to now throw it over to our sports director, Vinny Carbone, with Carbone's Court. He's going to be telling us a little bit about what's going on in the fall sports realm. So, Vinny, what's going on?
Katie, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be back here on Husky Nation News. You guys have all just entered Carbone's Court. I'm your host, Vinny Carbone, and let's get right into it. Women's soccer, that's where we're going to start. Fresh off of a Big East Conference championship and an NCAA tournament appearance last season, The UConn women's soccer team starts off their season 2-2-1, where every game except the tie have been decided by one goal. They've all been really close, great games. Many new faces for the Huskies this year, including a fifth-year transfer from Utah State, Caitlin Richards, who has been a difference maker early on at center back. She's a great player. She is tied with returners Chioma Okafor and Anaya Johnson right now with one goal apiece. And in goal, freshman Ava Yamas has been outstanding thus far, posting her second shutout of the year when they traveled to Yale yesterday, making truly incredible saves, including one on a PK. She is going to be something special here at UConn. Now on to men's soccer. Redshirt sophomore keeper Kyle Durham has been preaching to his team all season long, "We don't lose at home," and the Huskies have yet to fall at Maroney Field. They stand at 3-0-2, including a big-time draw against number 8-ranked UMass last Sunday. Senior transfer from San Diego State, Austin Brummett, has been on fire, scoring in three separate games, leading the Huskies with 6 total points. Jack Ross and Aditya Welling were on the call last night, where Brummett scored the eventual game winner in the first half versus CCSU. Let's see how long they can keep that undefeated streak at home alive. And now for football, starting off where they left off last year, they took down Central this past Saturday with a score of 59-13, and Bella Tomeno and Jack Ross were on the call for WHUS Sports. It was a great game. They had some great calls. The Rent had a record of over 37,000 fans in attendance, the largest crowd since 2013. And a true test is tomorrow as they travel to Syracuse to take on the Orange, which has been an old school conference rival for as long as I can remember. And now into my favorite segment of Carbone's Court, the trivia segment. I totally was prepared and had a question weeks in advance waiting for this moment. I didn't just get a question a couple minutes before the show went live. But here is today's question. We will answer it next week, by the way. What year was the UConn soccer field officially named Joseph J. Maroney Field? Once again, what year was the soccer field officially named Joseph J. Maroney Field? You'll hear the answer next week, so make sure to stay tuned. Katie, I'm going to send it right back to you. Thank you for having a great time in Carbone's Court.
Thank you so much, Vinny. That is a really good question. I actually have no clue when that stadium was renamed. But anyway, we're going to get right into our newest segment here on Husky Nation News, one that I have been anxiously anticipating and waiting for all week, and I'm so excited to it's finally here. So I am so incredibly pleased to introduce two guests who are in the studio live with us right now. We have Andy and Billy from the Undergraduate Student Government. Andy is the president this year, and Billy is the comptroller. So, guys, how are you?
We're good.
We are good. We're so happy to be here.
Yes. I'm so excited for you guys to be here. And we're going to have a little bit of a conversation to introduce everyone. Like, who are you? What do you do for USG? And what goals do you have for this upcoming year? So, my first question for you both, and whoever wants to answer first can. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourselves and what positions you currently hold in USG?
Yeah, well, first off, thank you so much for having us. It's so wonderful to be here and witness all this in action. My name is Andy Zhang. I'm a fourth-year economics and environmental sciences student. I was most recently elected to be president of the undergraduate student government in March, and I've served on campus in a variety of different roles as a sustainability intern, as a student ambassador, and it's really wonderful to be able to serve the campus in this larger capacity.
Awesome. Hi, guys. I'm Billy Lipinski. I am a junior in political science. I was most recently elected to the comptroller position for the undergraduate student government. I've worked with USG before as the inventory director, which is actually under the comptroller's office, so I have a little bit of experience. I work with ResLife via RHA, Residence Hall Association. That's another thing that I do on campus. I'm an honor student. And yeah.
Very cool.
That is awesome. Our next question that we had is, like, how did you guys get to your position today? Where did you start in USG? What made you guys want to get involved?
Yeah, I can start. So I remember in, like, April of my freshman year, hopping on JobX and looking for jobs and whatnot.
Oh, we all love JobX.
Right? And it's gone. It's gone. It's so sad.
1220.
But I remember hopping on JobX, looking at some USG positions. I had kind of had some interest in the student government before, like going to the career fair, but it wasn't really in the capacity that I wanted to be a part of it at that time. So I applied for a few different positions in the comptroller's office. I interviewed for a few different positions, and I ended up sticking with inventory director. Nice. And I had a really, really, really great experience last year working under Sydney Whitaker, the previous comptroller.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, based on my experience and the amount of fun I had working in the office, I decided to take the plunge and run for comptroller. And I ran in an uncontested election.
Wow.
And I'm
great.
Here.
Were you a part of like your student government in high school? Is that where your interest came?
Yeah. Our student government in high school was a little funky. we had different classes having their own kind of student government.
Okay.
And then there was like a student council that was kind of set aside. But I served as my student or my classes vice president and secretary for 2 different years. And I've always loved like leadership positions and being a part of the campus or school environment. So.
Very cool. All right, Andy, what about you?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think like when I got to college, I didn't really picture myself with anything doing with student government. I didn't really picture this as part of my future at all. I came in as an environmental sciences major, and honestly, I was really unsure about my future as a whole. And so I spent a lot of time figuring out if I really wanted to do environmental sciences. And it was kind of at the start of my sophomore year when I got more involved with the Office of Sustainability. I got involved with the Natural Resources Conservation Academy, which is another UConn program. And I really wanted to, I guess, learn more about how I could get involved with sustainability at UConn.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first, I guess, intro to USG at UConn was kind of going to their external affairs meeting and talking to their sustainability coordinator at the time, and she kind of introed me to a lot of different people, and that was really my first introduction to USG, and I got involved as a senator, and then from there I kind of worked as a senator for a year, wrote some legislation, and then the next year after I became the director of communications, and I kind of was taking it day by day where I was just kind of seeing where I was going, because I really wasn't sure about, I guess, how student government really filled into my future. And I guess, like, over winter break last year, I guess I kind of decided that I guess I wanted to run for student government. And it was kind of on a whim where I think there was a week left before the intent to run form closed. And
oh,
I decided that, okay, we're going to try and win an election. And I threw my hat in the ring, and it's been a history ever since, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to
you
both for being elected. That's super incredible.
Yeah.
And I know that when it comes to elections, especially on a large scale of like a university campus, it can be a little stressful.
Yes.
So
yes.
We're happy you guys toughed it out and got through it, and that you're here with us today.
Yeah. Us too.
Yes.
So USG sounds like a lot of fun, and I bet there are people out there listening thinking, oh, I want to get involved. So how could one get involved with USG? Are there meetings? Where are the meetings? What would you say to someone who wants to get involved?
Well, so, you know, before Andy talks about all our wonderful meetings, I think what's really unique about me and Andy's experiences are we kind of entered in two very different ways.
Mm.
I was never a senator. I hadn't really attended any USG meetings, and I just basically applied for a job. And that's how I kind of got involved. And then, you know, Andy went the route, correct me if I'm wrong, but Andy went the route of, you know, being a senator, kind of starting in an unpaid position and getting to know kind of the USG environment in terms of like legislation and whatnot. So I think it's kind of a testament to the fact that you can really show up in two very different ways for USG and sort of end up in the same place.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And I think USG does a really cool job of balancing both the paid opportunities and not paid opportunities, and both ways are really great ways to make your impact, but just in different ways. And so while we do have positions like funding staff, while we do have positions with our communications team in our various departments, there are also positions, for example, like our senator constituencies, which are kind of the largest way to get involved. And so, for example, right now we're having fall elections for both our residential seats. So these residential seats are for people, for being senators based on where you live. So, for example, I think there's some open seats at McMahon, at Hilltop. If you live in alumni, you can run to be the senator of that kind of resident. And then there's also academic seats. So, for example, if you're in CLAS, if you're in Connor, if you're any of those colleges, you can also run as part of those seats. And just aside from being a senator or any of those kinds of positions, we also have weekly open committee meetings. And so the three main ones that we have are external affairs, student services, and academic affairs. External affairs, I think, meets Tuesdays at 7 p.m. in the Student Union 324. And I think our academic affairs and student services will be decided soon. And I think they're going to start meeting next weekend, but those meetings are usually on Thursdays. And those meetings are really open to anyone, and they really talk about anything relating to the committee and their kind of purview. So, for example, if you're involved in student services, you'd be talking about stuff relating to Shaw, you'd be talking stuff relating to Period Box, the Plan B, MOU, any of that kind of stuff in student well-being. And this is kind of similar to like academic affairs, where academic affairs does kind of everything related to anything relating to students and their kind of academic experience on campus. And so, for example, like right now, they're trying to figure out how they can increase the outreach of the New York Times subscriptions, because we do pay for free New York Times for every UConn student. And so something that we do want to see is we want to see that increase in usage, and we're trying to brainstorm ways to get more students on the program and utilize the free resources that they're paying for and that we provide.
Yeah. I know that a lot of the students, I'll be in like a lecture class and I'll see everyone with the New York Times games coming up and everyone's playing like Connections or doing the mini, which now is paywalled.
Now you can access it with the help of USG.
Yes, thank you, USG. Now I can get back to the mini and get back to my my fun little
games.
There
you go. Yeah.
Not saying I do that during class, because I'm very, I'm paying attention, but sometimes you just need to play a little game just to keep yourself, awake. Yeah. So to kind of follow up a little bit with what you guys were talking about, you have a lot of involvement. You have a lot of opportunities for students to get involved. And I know that because there's so much information that's out there, I know that there's always going to be some confusion, sometimes misconceptions, misunderstandings about when meetings are or what each position does. So I wanted to ask you both what a common misconception or misunderstanding you hear frequently that relates to USG. It could be about your position, it could be about another department that you have pretty much no involvement in. But let's like clear the air a little bit for those who do want to get involved but just are a little confused by some information swirling around.
I can start. So definitely something we've already touched upon. I think that sometimes we could be doing a better job of advertising the resources that we provide. Mm-hmm. So there is that free New York Times subscription. There's we allocate $75,000 for free campus printing.
Wow.
So it's on a first come first serve basis, up to $15 per student. Until that $75,000 runs out. We provide free printing. The New York Times, we have free Plan B via Shaw, a contract that we have with Student Health and Wellness. Upon many other things, we've done Period Box, which is a big initiative that Student Services does pretty much every year, where we give out free menstrual products for students. It's one of our biggest events, and we're happy to report that it's kind of been picked up by the university. They've seen the impact that it's had. That's really great.
Yeah.
I think in terms of my office specifically, I think, the biggest kind of student-facing aspect of my office would be Tier 2 funding, which I know everyone was waiting for me to get to. I think one of the biggest things that we hear from RSOs is just the accessibility of Tier 2 funding and kind of a lack of knowledge regarding our funding policies, and also how our resources are allocated in Tier 2 funding. And I think one of the biggest things that I can say is that, I hear all the time, what happened to my $15,000, right? Because we fund up to $15,000 per RSO with X amount of dollars in our budget, right? So it's sort of like that free campus printing where it's on a first come first serve basis. So it's not $15,000 per group.
Right.
It's not a $15,000 budget allocated to each RSO. It's you get to request up to on a first come first serve basis. And I think you know, we can be doing a better job of advertising, like, get your requests in now. We want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to fund your things. But, you know, there's only so many resources. I mean, you know, I make our budget. And I'm working towards allocating as much money mm-hmm. as I can towards tier two funding. But I think that that's a big one. And I think, you know, keeping our socials and our website updated too is a big one. Just making sure that we're, like I said, advertising those resources as much as we can and doing our part to make sure that students feel supported by our staff.
Yeah.
And I would kind of say, like, I think a similar misconception that I've heard a lot is that I think people think that, I guess, we spend our time doing nothing. I think we don't really do anything with our time. And I think it is a common misconception, and it is hard to break down, because I think what a lot of people don't understand is that USG is like completely student run, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. It's any other student just running the entire organization, right? And so these are students that are balancing 18 credit course loads, they're balancing high level courses, they're balancing extracurriculars, they're balancing academics, right? And so they're just any other UConn student. And so when I think people often say that USG doesn't do anything, they're assuming that we're kind of some sort of university or corporate entity that is operated by in the interest of their shareholders or whatever. But we're all just students trying to figure out how to balance this all out while doing our best to kind of serve ourselves, but also the students, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that this kind of touches a little bit onto like the information overload that you were kind of talking about, mm-hmm. where in all my meetings with administrators, with Res Life, with Dining, with I guess any kind of academic department, like, there are people that are willing to serve students. The people that work in Dining, the people that work in Res Life, they want to work in the university setting because they want to serve students, right? And mm-hmm. I think that we can be very quick to admonish administrators and say that they're just doing stuff to serve their own best interests, but mm-hmm. I think oftentimes what is the case is that students need help, but they don't really know where to find it or how to get that information in a timely manner. And as a result, they can sometimes struggle to feel like they're getting the support that they need, right? Because mm-hmm. I think that Shaw does a really wonderful job of catering to student needs. If you need dietary restrictions, you can talk with Mike White, the executive director of Dining, and he'll provide accommodations, right? And so there's stuff in place. I think the question is just, how can we make it so that students get the information they need before mm-hmm. the urgency, right? Because I think the same thing that occurred with housing last year, where a lot of students were stranded on housing, but there are still off-campus housing lots available. There is still mm-hmm. places to live, but you just need to know where to look. And I think that that is a common misconception that we're really trying to figure out how we can best tackle. But it's a tough battle. It's a tough battle.
Yeah.
And we've seen you guys working hard. I know that I've been up to date with a lot of what USG has been doing. And, you know, I go to the Senate meetings and I'm looking at all these agendas, reading through meeting minutes. So I can, you know, say as someone who does read those frequently, you guys are doing a lot. And I just think that, kind of like what you were saying, Billy, like the advertising could use a little bit of help. But that's why you guys are here.
Yep.
We're here to help you guys and give you guys another platform to talk about what you do and how you do it and all of the logistical, like, behind the scenes stuff that not many people realize is happening.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know you guys touched on it a little bit with goals that you guys have, but we do want to know what goals you have in your position specifically and also in your different departments.
Yeah, I can touch on this a little bit quickly. Something that I think I really want to focus on is that I think there is a lot of fragmentation within our university space, I guess, and I think that something that I want to do a little bit better job of is making sure that we're working together collectively, whether that is internally, whether that's with other organizations. And I think that we're seeing that, like, right now through this, like, WIS-USG collaboration, is that I want to make sure that USG, if we're saying we're representing the student body, we're actually working with the student body and not just working within our own little USG bubble. Mm-hmm. And in addition, within our own USG departments, I think we have a lot of different very awesome departments, but I think that a lot of our interests are very aligned and we could benefit from working on shared projects. So something that we're trying to do right now, for example, is seeing if we can bring any sort of free legal aid to UConn students. And I think that is a community effort that whether or not you are in the external affairs department, whether or not you're in the student services department, we're trying to bring together people from all different areas of USG to kind of work together on this initiative, because I think it is something that could benefit from a shared perspective and a shared effort. And we're actually going to have our first meeting on it later today. And I think that just trying to, I guess, really represent the students fully is something that I really want us to do a better job of, because I think we always pride ourselves on saying that we are here for the students' interests, we are here for the students' needs, but we don't do a really good job of assessing what those needs are and what those interests are. And I think that I really want to make sure that if we are saying that we're doing as good of a job as doing the outreach and assessment part of that aspect.
Yeah. That was very well said, Andy.
Yes, it was.
Very well said.
I think in terms of my office, you know, my office, other than Tier 2 funding, is a little less student-facing. So I think one of my goals, and I actually mentioned this at our Tier 3 training that we had, is to kind of figure out what my advocacy goal is this year, and to figure out what I want to funnel some of my, not financial resources, but mental resources into is. Like, I guess, you know, I'm really excited to be working with administration on some potential new projects about streamlining the Tier 2 process, funding process, and making it a bit of a more equitable system. I'm also really excited. I'm having a lot of great meetings with the cultural centers and with club sports, and making sure that everyone feels comfortable with the funding system, because I think that that contributes to an equitable system. I think what we've seen in the past is a lot of clubs that have veteran e-board members. They know how to they know the system. They know how to work it. They know to front load requests and whatnot. And I don't blame them. I get it. But I want to make sure that RSO leaders who maybe aren't familiar with the system, or, you know, are brand new and are new to leadership, feel comfortable, feel like it's as much of a system for them as it is for some RSOs that have already been utilizing the system, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I hope that you guys have a lot of success with achieving those goals. Yes. I know that goal setting for me personally is like super big, especially like having you guys on Husky Nation today was a huge goal of mine that I've been in the works of for a little while now. So thank you for achieving my goal. And I hope that in any way we can help contribute to yours.
Oh, we appreciate
I do believe Vinny has a question. Vinny, what is your question?
Yeah, I do have just some comments to say as well. I know we got about 8 minutes left, so I'll be quick.
Okay.
I like to rewind a little bit to what Andy said, how you guys are students as well. You are doing things for USG, and you also have your own lives, your own academic things, other things you want to do, goals and stuff.
Yep.
So I'm gonna, a question for each of you, because I know Andy had to speak in front of 4,000 to 5,000 freshmen a couple weeks ago for their orientation thing, whatever it was. So quickly, how did that go, and what was that like, and just... I mean, because that's something you don't realize. As the president, that's what you have to do. Talking in front of 5,000 people is not easy.
So
how did that go?
Yeah, and I'll admit, it was very nerve-wracking, because I think this like whole process has been, like, I guess from start to finish, has been very new, for example. Like, even the idea of representing 20,000 people has been going from, like, I guess, the Connor College to 20,000 students is a really weird shift. And also, like, I guess I'd never spoken in front of 4,000, 5,000 people, like, anywhere near that number in my life before, right? And this is also, keep in mind, there was, like, no podium or anything, so it was kind of me walking around the stage and lighting the fire and all that kind of stuff. And it was fun, but it was also very nerve-wracking, I'll admit. And I think that process was also really cool for me in a lot of different ways, because public speaking is also, like, a personal goal of mine. So it was kind of cool, like, this is, like, when you kind of throw your kid in the water, right? You just hope that they can try and swim. And that's kind of how it felt for me, where I was like, okay, let's kind of see how this goes, and hopefully it goes well. And I think the reception was pretty okay, but I like the process a lot. And hopefully we'll have more speaking opportunities, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that's why I know personally I've never spoken in front of that many people or anything. But and now, question for you.
Yes.
I know I picked on you a little bit before, but you want to go to law school. And I just want people to realize that, just the prep. I know I brought it up and I'm talking about it a lot, but you're doing all of this. Like, what you're doing for USG is nothing, it's not easy. It's not, I mean, being the comptroller, the financial person it's difficult. I know from WUS, I interact with our CFO, our financial person, and he does a lot, but I mean, arguably, you have more responsibilities and more people are, you know, going after you because of all the Tier 2 stuff and all that. And just, but I mean, just how do you just balancing that between all your workload and your major and just doing this on the side? I mean, it's not easy, right?
Yeah, no, I'll be honest. No, it's not. I mean, I actually built my course schedule this semester to prioritize USJ. Actually, I'm only taking four courses, and one of them's online, and I only have class Tuesday, Thursday, because I wanted to be accessible. I wanted to be able to do my job well.
Mm-hmm. That's admirable. Okay, look what they're doing here.
We're not disagreeing.
No, I know. So, the audience, not you two.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I try to be in office as much as possible Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I schedule all my meetings for those days. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm a political science major, and I'm actually kind of wrapping that up at this point.
Wow.
I have an advising meeting in like 5 minutes. hopefully adding a criminal justice minor.
Oh.
I'm in a master's program for public policy.
Wow.
Before law school, hopefully, fingers crossed. But yeah, I it's definitely tough. There, you know, I manage a budget of like $2.4 million.
Wow.
But it's fun. I enjoy the responsibility. I enjoy the leadership. I look forward to meetings with students. I love when students come in and have questions. I want to answer them. I want to meet with students. I want to reassure them. You know, that's the other thing too, is I think that knowledge gap, I want to be able to fill it. You know,
yeah.
I want to be able to say, hey, we got you. Like, I get you might be confused about this, but me and my staff, we've got it covered. And, you know, working over the summer was difficult because I didn't get to have a lot of the student interaction.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, you know, a lot of paperwork and a lot of like training my own staff and getting that like learning curve figured out, because it was a lot. But now that I get to work with the students, that's really rewarding, and that's been really fun.
Yeah, I bet it's been really fun. Were you going to say something?
No, that's it. That's all I had.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on and telling us a little bit about yourselves and introducing, you know, USG to Husky Nation News and all of our listeners. I wanted to ask, when it comes to contact information, if somebody were to reach you, and also where can we find all things USG?
Yeah, I would say for right now, I think the most up-to-date places are Instagram, so USG UConn.
Okay.
Actually, just right now, before this show, I was responding to someone who was asking about where they could find information about fall Senate elections and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And so feel free to DM our Instagram. Usually it's me or our director of communications that checks that.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a communications form that we have on our website that I think we're pretty responsive to.
Definitely.
And then also our emails, for example, like mine's like president@usg.uconn.edu.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone has any questions, we're very responsive. We're trying to be very responsive and reach out as much as possible.
Yeah.
Yes. Same here. My email is comptroller@usg.uconn.edu. And for anything funding related, it'll be fundingdirector@usg.uconn.edu.
Mm-hmm.
We look forward to hearing.
Yeah, we're very responsive.
Yeah. Thank you guys again so much. It was a pleasure having you on our show. And yeah. Billy, you have to run over to that advising meeting.
Yes, I do.
We're going to let you guys go, and we're going to sign off right here. So you all have been tuning in to Husky Nation News this morning. Thank you all so much for tuning in every single week. We really appreciate it. We'd like to thank our news partners, the Daily Campus, UConn's student newspaper, and UCTV, UConn's student television station. A special thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I'm Katie Service.
I'm Rhea Kowalski.
And I'm Vinny Carbone.
And you have been listening to Husky Nation News on WHUS Stores on 91.7 FM. We will catch you next week, Husky Nation.